Enjoy.
And a pleasant good afternoon to you, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. This is indeed the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. Tuscaloosa Reform Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app, globally on WMFO.org, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Thank you for making this show part of your Thursday afternoon and evening. Lots to do, always appreciated. And it is great to be back after being away for 2 weeks. Hope all of you had a great Thanksgiving, whether you had the chance to spend it with family or not, but hope you were able to make the most of it. And I'm here with you until 5 o'clock today, as always, every Thursday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m., right here on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tuscaloosa Reform Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app, available on demand as a podcast on iHeartRadio as well. And I want to start the show talking about the NHL, because the NHL has entered an area of concern. I'm concerned. And listen, it's December 3rd. And I know there have been talks about whether this league is going to be able to start on January 1st or not. But at this point in juncture, there are questions to be asked, and I'm going to start asking those questions. What's causing the rift between the NHL and the NHL Players Association? Because a lot of what I've been reading and a lot of what I've been hearing, a lot of it has to do with the NHL Players Association being angry with the NHL owners about having to come back to the bargaining table and basically having to renegotiate their CBA. And a lot of it is justified. And there are questions that my friends have even asked me. It's like, hey, do you know if there's going to be an NHL season this season? And my answer has gone from absolutely there will be to, oh, it has to be, to now I'm not even sure. Listen, I want the NHL to come back. I miss hockey badly. And listen, I don't mind turning into the NHL Network, seeing college hockey, and college hockey is a terrific product to watch. Absolutely terrific. You got powerhouses like Notre Dame, Boston College, Harvard University. I mean, in New England, you and I know that we have a tremendous college hockey product in the region. UMass, Maine, University of New Hampshire, Providence. You know, the list goes on and on. But I miss the NHL, and college hockey is actually doing a really good job in terms of, you know, providing the entertainment factor, as well as, you know, watching the young kids play, many of whom have already been drafted, but they're fulfilling their commitments to their respective universities and college. But I miss the NHL. I miss hockey. And I absolutely miss, you know, turning in to see the Bruins play, or if you're a guy like myself who I pay attention to what's going on across the league, whether it's the Red Wings or the Blues or the Minnesota Wild or the Toronto Maple Leafs or the Montreal Canadiens. I miss being able to watch NHL games. And I'm concerned because we don't even know when the season's going to start. You couldn't begin to tell me. I couldn't begin to tell you. No one knows. Heck, I don't even think the NHL commissioner, Gary Bettman, even knows, if we're being completely honest. But I will start out with saying this. The fact that we are at this point is alarming. That the NHL owners failed, and failed miserably, to take into consideration that perhaps fans weren't going to return to home arenas for home games as quickly as they thought or anticipated. And that's the issue right now. The issue that I also have is that the players, they're not talking to the owners. And again, I really believe that the anger of the players is absolutely justified. No question. I'm not upset with them. But the fact that they're not talking to the owners is alarming, in a sense that many of them want to play. Not some. They all want to play. I want them to play. I want them to have a season. But the fact of the matter is this. They can't have a season if they are not talking to each other. That's the concern. And if you're an NHL fan, regardless of any of the 31, soon to be 32 teams across the league, this should worry you. That here we are in December 3rd, and the players are talking about, and the league is talking about starting the season on January 1st. I don't see it. I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. And locally speaking, I'm a Bruin fan, diehard Bruin fan, passionate Bruin fan. I want the boys to return back to the ice badly. But here's the fact of the matter. The anger between the players and the owners, but especially the players, is warranted. But here's a bigger question. Where is the middle ground? Where's the middle ground? I haven't seen or read anything to suggest that there's some sort of middle ground that the players and the owners are willing to meet. Because the fact of the matter is this. The players are being asked to return some of the money back and wish that they'd be making to be returned back to them later, at a later time. Okay. When later? When is that later? Because at the end of the day, the NHL is a revenue-driven league. They need the fans. They need it. And they know that the financial hit that they took between March 12th through the bubble was absolutely devastating financially for all 31 teams. And upon returning, they know that they are going to absolutely need to do everything they can to get this figured out. Because here's the other part of the equation that a lot of fans either are not talking about, but I'm going to bring it up now. Ladies and gentlemen, this season is the last year of the TV contracts for the United States side of the NHL. Let me explain. The NHL on NBC contract that they have with the league, with the NHL, expires in 2021. Expires at the conclusion of the season, of this season. If they don't have a season at all, not only will it have grave consequences, but it would also have consequences regarding how the league will negotiate its next TV deal. Because let's be honest, ESPN, they went back in the NHL business. And I don't blame them. NBC has done a phenomenal job over the course of the last 15 years with the NHL and NBC package that they've done. Starting back in the 2005-2006 season. They've done a terrific job all these years. But here's the truth. They know that they need a season. Because if they don't have a season, here's what's going to happen. Those networks, they're going to say to the league, why should we pay you X amount of dollars if you can't even get your players to come onto the ice and play? Why should we pay you dollars and invest in your league if you can't even handle the in-league conflict that's leading to millions upon hundreds of millions of dollars being lost? Because that's what it is right now. And let's not forget this very important factor here. I mentioned earlier in this segment that the NHL is a revenue-driven league. I've talked about that. But what I also did talk about is the fact that these owners, they need fans to come back. But here's the thing, and this is part of my anger with the owners specifically here. How in God's name did you not factor into the fact that there was going to be a second surge? Did you just assume that when you return back to the season back in this January that, oh, fans will be back without taking into consideration that, oh, there may be a second surge. How do we prepare for that? What's the financial hit going to be? I don't think they did. And that's the part that bothers me. Because if that is the fact, if that is part of the negotiating that they did back in the summer with the Players Association, and also saying to the players that, hey, you know, we're willing to do this, well, I'm sure we will have fans back in, back in by next season, by beginning of next season. No big deal. Woe to the players. Woe to the owners. Because both sides had to have known that there would be a chance that at the start of this season that there won't be any fans in the stands. There's no way that you could sit here and convince me that they both didn't know or have that in the back of their minds. Because if that's the case, then both sides are to blame. Here is the other part of it as well that has me all hot and bothered. So, the NHL came out with a column yesterday. It's on NHL.com. It was written by Nicholas J. Katsonika. Nicholas J. Katsonika. It's on NHL.com. The column is headlined, NHL, quote-unquote, taking our time planning for the start of the 2020-2021 season. The NHL is planning for what could be an unusual 2020-2021 season with the goal of returning to normal in 2021-2022. Fine. But what is that going to look like in terms of the unusual 2020-2021 season? Because at this point, you could just say the 2021 season. There isn't going to be a 2020 portion of the season. Not the way that things have gone so far. This is what stood out to me that was written in the column. Like Commissioner Bettman said, he said, quote, that is a work in progress, influenced largely by what we're hearing from the medical experts, and we talked to some pretty highly placed people without name dropping. COVID-19 is going through a second wave, which could be worse than the first wave. And between Thanksgiving and the aftermath and what they think is going to happen for Christmas and the aftermath, we are taking our time and making sure that as we look for ways to move forward, we're focused on health and safety and doing the right things. The commissioner said that the NHL Players Association would sign off on a training camp of appropriate length, which might be slightly shorter than past seasons. Teams probably would want to play a preseason game or two, unquote. With all of that being said, was this not planned for during the last CBA negotiation? I really wonder. Because if this second wave is as bad as we think it's going to be, the league may not even start until, what, February? If we're lucky? Because, listen, again, this is where we are now. We are at a point that, in fact, second wave is here. Yesterday in Massachusetts, it was more than 4,000 new cases in the state alone. In fact, from what I read and from what I heard, it set a new day, a single day record of most new cases in the state of Massachusetts since the pandemic began. If that isn't scary stuff, then I don't know what is. That's only in Massachusetts. I haven't even looked at or considered other parts of the country, like, you know, like, for example, Florida, Philadelphia, New York, Texas, Missouri, Chicago, California. I haven't even considered those other regions yet. But here we are, and we haven't even hit Christmas yet. Christmas is only 3 weeks away. And here we are, and the NHL is talking about preparing for the aftermath of Thanksgiving that just passed a week ago, and Christmas that's coming up, and the New Year's that's coming up, of what that could possibly look like in terms of COVID, the second surge. It's a guessing game. And by that alone, if we're going to be completely practical, don't be surprised if the new season doesn't start till February the latest. Because right now, I don't see the season starting in January. January 1st, I don't see it. Between the Players Association and the owners not talking, and as well as COVID being the big determining factor in all of this, I don't see how anybody could possibly think that the league will possibly start a month from now. I don't see it. If we're lucky as an NHL community and as an NHL fan base, we may get it back in February. But based on the fact that the players, they still need training camp, as I read, they still need at least one, if not two, preseason games to get themselves into game playing shape. I don't see the season starting in January. I don't. I have a hard time being convinced of that very reality. And that is something that I really believe that if you are an NHL fan, if you're a Bruins fan, and you're waiting for the Bruins to return like I am, prepare for the reality of the situation in which that the Bruins and the rest of the NHL may not return until February, the earliest. Coming up next, I gotta tell you, there is something about the NFL right now that I find absolutely comedy. And that I find it hilarious. Honestly, I'm gonna tell you exactly what that is coming up next on the Shuki Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. This is Shuki Wright. Had to be back with you today. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford and Tuning Radio App.
John, we can't keep putting this off.
Okay, I'll clean the gutters.
I'm talking about your dad.
Well, what can we do? He wants to stay in his house.
We can make his house safer.
Yeah, I worry about the steps.
Perfect world, there are no steps, but he does have steps. And that banister only goes halfway up. And all those little throw rugs are falls waiting to happen.
So what about his prescription meds? If he forgets and takes them twice, he could get really dizzy.
Right. We could get him one of those daily pill counters. And he should have some sturdy hand grips in the bathroom and shower. This is all easy to do.
You know he's a proud guy. He's not going to take all our fussing lying down.
That's the idea.
For older people, falling and breaking a hip can be devastating. For more tips on making home safer, visit orthoinfo.org/falls. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association.
Now please, clean the gutters. Just be careful on the ladder.
Hi, this is Paul McCartney on behalf of RAD. If you're drinking, you can't drive my car or any car. Remember, if you're partying this holiday season, don't drink and drive. Got it? It's just not worth it. Doesn't make sense. Thank you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
When it comes to saving money, don't act like a baby.
Goo goo gaga.
Be the boss and make a budget.
I'm the boss, baby.
You're the boss of me.
I am the boss of you.
Are not.
M2.
Are not.
M2.
Need a little help?
Aren't you going to do any work?
I'm very busy delegating.
Create a personalized savings plan.
We could share.
You obviously didn't go to business school.
And get other tools and tips at feedthepig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
I always look forward to Rossano Radio on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM.
Bringing you the hottest tracks from around the globe.
From around the globe.
I always look forward to Rossano Radio.
With your host, FR. Mondays at 10 a.m.
Rossano Radio on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM and live worldwide at WMFO.org.
Mondays at 10 a.m.
Rosano Radio, only here on WMFO.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tusk Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app, globally on WMFO.org, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Thank you for making this show part of your Thursday afternoon and early evening. I am very happy to be back with you after a two-week break, and I just want to go over a couple of housekeeping items in regards to the Shukri Wright Show. As always, you could listen to this show and every broadcast of the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO, on demand on iHeartRadio. You can also listen to it as part of the Shukri Wright podcast, which you can find on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Anchor, and as well as iHeartRadio. Now, I mentioned before we went to break about what exactly I found comical about the NFL right now. Because the NFL finds itself in a bit of a conundrum, if you will. I think it is a conundrum, and it'll only get worse. And that is its handling of the outbreak in terms of COVID and so forth. Now, I will say that very quickly and briefly that the NFL finally was able to get the Steelers and Ravens game played. They played yesterday, in which the Steelers won. And they finally got that win, in which many people thought they were going to beat the Ravens. And I think that there's something to be said in regards to the NFL and its handling of COVID. They've made it this far into the NFL season. Now, week 12 is done. It was completed as of yesterday's game between the Ravens and Steelers. We're on to week 13. And frankly, the NFL has got to give itself some credit, but they don't deserve a ton of credit, frankly, for getting this far. And I'm going to tell you why. And it's part of the reason why I absolutely find it to be absolutely comical. Here's why. For those who have been listening to the show for a while now, know that I have been very consistently critical of the NFL's handling of the coronavirus. And we have seen how many instances this season alone with the Titans, this Patriots situation, and now most recently the situation with the Baltimore Ravens, in which that you've had outbreaks, multiple outbreaks of COVID on NFL teams. What's funny to me is that the NFL has had ample amount of time between all of the sports leagues. We're talking about between Major League Baseball, between the NHL, between the NBA, to come up with an adequate plan as to how are they safely going to handle being able to have a successful season in which that you are at least able to mitigate the positive test for COVID amongst the players on teams. But no. We're going to drag our feet and we're just going to cavalier through because we're the NFL and no one dare challenges us, not even COVID. With the most recent situation regarding the Baltimore Ravens, I wish that 12 players and coaching staff members combined tested positive for COVID. That led me to think the following. With this, doesn't come as a surprise. And I'm not talking about the Ravens. I'm talking about in terms of the NFL. Since when has the NFL truly give a damn about the players' safety? Except in recent years when it came to concussions. But let's be honest. How long did that take? That didn't happen overnight. For the longest of time, the NFL turned a blind eye to CTE. What made you and I think that the NFL was going to handle a pandemic any differently? And not to say that the NFL turned a blind eye in terms of the pandemic and saying that, oh, it's not real, it's fake news. But rather, taking necessary precaution and not just coming up with on-the-fly protocols in terms of teams testing its players on a regular to ensure that if case if they turn out to be positive for COVID, that they don't infect other players. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is the idea and the thought that this was suddenly going to just disappear into the long night as if it was like mist and fog in the air. That wasn't realistic. That was never going to happen. So I have to really ask the following question. What's the NFL going to do now? Because, hey, here's the truth. We are now in the midst of a second wave of the pandemic. And it's only going to get worse. It's not going to get any better. It's only going to get worse. How is the NFL going to handle it? Christmas is 3 weeks away. New Year's is less than a month away. What is the NFL's plan going to be when it comes to handling these outbreaks that are going to come? Because the Ravens situation, and as well as the Denver Broncos, they're not going to be the last. I said it back in October when the Tennessee Titans had the outbreak on their team. That wasn't going to be the last situation. I was right then, and I hate to be right in this situation, but I have a feeling that I may be right once again. In no way, shape, and form am I wishing an outbreak of COVID on anybody or any team in the NFL or in any sport. But the way that the NFL has handled the situation has been piss poor. Listen, I'll give the NFL credit in terms of this piece here. Let's combine these two instances, the Broncos and the Ravens. Because if you may remember, the Broncos had a situation of their own in which that their entire quarterback group was ruled ineligible to play this past Sunday in Denver against the Saints. And they had to bring someone off the practice squad to start the game. That's how bad it was. I mean, there was someone out there who been waiting to, you know, maybe get a chance, but I'm not going to get into that right now. But in any case, the truth is that the NFL said, you know what, Denver? Nah, you're going to play your game. We're going to make an example out of you. You're going to play. You're going to go ahead and play the game on schedule. But yet, when it came to the Baltimore Ravens, it basically was, oh, okay, we're going to do everything we possibly can to push the game back. We're going to push it back. We're going to push it back. We're going to push it back. Basically bending backwards three times over. And I just found it to be, okay. From the outside looking in, I'm like, okay, where's the consistency? And who got the short end of the stick? The Pittsburgh Steelers. And they have every right to be mad. They have a right to be mad for that one reason only. But in terms of the NFL, I mean, the NFL players, they have to do their part as well. I get it. I totally understand that it's important that they do their part to ensure that they are being responsible and that they are being safe throughout all of this. Because the fact of the matter is this. It's really imperative that the players know that there are certain activities that normally they would be able to do, but this time around, because of COVID, you can't. There's too great of a risk involved. And I think that what's really going to be important is that I think that the NFL is going to have to figure out a way to ensure that the players and the coaching staff of all 32 of these teams not only are following the protocol, but also do their job in terms of making sure that, hey, if someone actually has it, they don't become the super spreader like the strength and conditioning coach of the Baltimore Ravens. Like, I mean, please, can we at least ensure that everyone is able to do their part and then some? Because there is too many dangerous risks involved in all of this. And that's something that I don't think that the NFL players are really taking seriously enough. up until this point, up until recently. And who knows where this is going to go? Because the NFL, they're trying desperately not to have a week 18. In week 18, that would be the week of January 10th. Because week 17 right now is slated to be January 3rd, 2021. A month from today. So, the furthermore that they have to push back games, the furthermore that they're going to have to do their part to ensure that games don't get canceled or postponed, the increased likelihood is going to be that they're going to need to have a week 18 for those makeup games. Because I just don't see right now that the NFL is going to be able to start the NFL playoffs on time. I don't see it. I've been wrong before. I hope they are able to. But I don't trust the league's ability to be consistent and really be able to come up with a plan to ensure the player's safety. Which, oh, by the way, speaking of which, what's their plan going to be for the NFL postseason? What's the plan? Because last time I checked, there's no plan for a bubble like what the Major League Baseball did or what the NHL did or what the NBA did. The NFL has yet to announce any sort of plan in terms of how are they going to carry out its postseason. Because you know what? Now is the time to ask. Absolutely. We are now a month away from the NFL playoffs, and that question is now being asked. What is the plan? What are they going to do? Because I just don't see how the NFL could possibly say, hey, you know what? We're not going to play it in a bubble. We are going to do what we can and continue to have players fly around coast to coast to wherever that may be and play NFL playoff games in their home stadiums. I don't know how that works, especially now that we're in the midst of a second surge. I mean, it's just something that I really think that the NFL fans and the media should be wondering. I mean, have they heard anything? I haven't heard anything. And to even bring up a bigger point, let's say they do have a bubble. I'd say if. Where would they play? You got the Superdome. You have the Cowboys' home stadium, both indoor facilities. Well, in terms of the Cowboys, it's a retractable roof, so that counts for something at least. And you also have Los Angeles as well. But then you still have the Super Bowl in Tampa Bay as well. So that's just something to just take into thought and take into consideration, because no one's heard anything in terms of the NFL plans for the postseason. And I think it's something that the NFL absolutely needs to figure out and figure out soon, because they already have a lot on their hands. The COVID outbreaks with the teams, there's going to be another outbreak between now and the end of the regular season. I'm calling it now. Again, not wishing it upon anybody at all. But the way that the NFL season has gone, there has been at least 1 week. There hasn't been 1 week in which that a player did not test positive or there was something going on with a particular team. And that's something that I think it's imperative to keep that in mind. And to be honest with ourselves, if the NFL did not do an adequate job of handling COVID during the regular season, how do you think they're going to handle the postseason? And I think the fact that they haven't shown any sort of plan as to what they're going to do is flat out comical. We're just going to wing it. Oh, okay. You wing it so far with not so good results. I mean, the one positive is you have gotten to this point. You're in week 13 now. But you are really teetering on having a week 18. So what's your plan moving forward? Huh? Because you know, the great Mike Tyson once said, everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth, and the NFL has gotten punched in the mouth way too many times. Soon enough, it's going to find itself being teethless. And that is not a good position for a multi-billion dollar enterprise like the NFL at all. Coming up next, Major League Baseball, hot stove. It's going to be really interesting. Who should get who? And what player should go where? That and much more coming up next on the Shoot Me Right Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. This is Shoot Me Right. You are listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. Just from radio streaming on the TuneIn Radio, but globally on WMFO.org.
Is the city where danger lurks. Today, a new creature walks among us, causing fear, mayhem, and injury.
Stay back, children.
Mommy, I'm scared.
Look out for the dreaded digital deadwalkers. They're not looking out for you. With faces pressed against their little handheld devices, they put all good citizens in harm's way.
Hey, pal. Pardon you.
The digital deadwalkers are multiplying. Until their behavior patterns can be modified, the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons warns all innocent people to stay alert. Better yet, to step up and speak out.
Oh, hey, dude, I'm walking here.
Sorry, I didn't see you.
A public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, who want to keep everyone well connected with healthy bones.
Chris, can you put the video game controller down for a second?
I can talk and play. Oh, I'm totally annihilating this punk kid in Nebraska.
I just feel like you're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2!
Well, you know, you still ride your skateboard to work, there's the comic book collection, the race car bed.
Look, I'm young at heart, but I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I picked up a few savings tips at feedthepig.org. I have control over my financial life now, and that feels pretty grown up.
Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. Putting some money from every paycheck into a savings account or contributing to your 401k can make a big difference later. For free ideas and easy tips on ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org. So, I bet I look like a grown up to you now.
Well, except for the footy pajamas, I'd have to agree.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Ooh, we're gonna have fun.
Oh yeah. If you enjoy new and vintage punk, rock and roll, rhythm and blues, psychedelic, surf and rockabilly, you'll want to tune into the Desperate Hours with Alex every Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. here on WMFO Medford.
We pride ourselves on the high moral standards of our program, and I mean that sincerely. We don't resort to sex or crime or violence or drinking on the programs.
It's great music from the has-beens, should-have-beens, woulda-couldas, and never-weres from the 1950s all the way up through to the present day.
Yes.
Connect with Alex and the Desperate Hours on Facebook and listen on Thursday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. only here on Tufts Freeform Radio, 91.5 on your FM dial and on the web at WMFO.org.
There's no crime in giving yourself over to pleasure.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO, in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. As we are here in the month of December, baseball enters that time of year where it's time to fire up the stove. In baseball terms, that means it's time to fire up the hot stove. And this offseason, in which that this isn't your prototypical offseason in Major League Baseball, there are some big decisions that are going to have to be made. And yesterday was the non-tender deadline. And 56 players in total are now free agents on the Major League Baseball free agent market, which makes the hot stove season all the more interesting. I mean, let me start with the fact that Kyle Schwarber is now a free agent. I'm shocked. I'm genuinely shocked that Kyle Schwarber was not tendered a contract for 2021. Now, I understand that they want to make sure that Chris Bryant was tendered a contract, that Javier Baez was tendered a contract. But you're talking about a guy who was a vital part of the 2016 Chicago Cubs team that won the World Series for the first time in 108 years. And that's something that I really am just shocked. Because it wasn't as if that he just suddenly fell off the face of the earth. That wasn't the case. And the part that I don't understand, that you talk about a guy who showed that he has tremendous power and he could absolutely hit for average if he cuts down on his strikeout rate. But here's the thing. And I guess for whatever reason, they felt that they had to make a move. Someone had to get moved on. And Kyle Schwarber was going to be that guy. And here's the thing. You talk about a guy in which that absolutely was a big part of what the Cubs have become over the last 5 years, going back to 2015. That's Kyle Schwarber. You talk about a guy who in 2019... in a pandemic-shortened 2020 season, Kyle Schwarber hit 11 home runs to 24 runs batted in 59 games. Okay, you could say that he had a down year. I mean, he hit 188. I get that. But the year prior, in 2019, this was a guy who hit 38 home runs and 92 runs batted in. He hit for an average 250. Not terrible, not great. But this is a guy who has shown year in and year out that he can provide you 25-plus home runs. The only year that he did not provide with such home runs playing in at least 125 games or more was never. 2017, he had 30 home runs and 59 runs batted in. 2018, he had 26 home runs and 61 runs batted in. As I just mentioned, 2019, 38 home runs and 92 runs batted in. So this is a guy that has shown that he has a great deal of power. As long as he's healthy. As long as he's healthy, he is a guy that you know that will be able to produce. And he could be a good top part, middle part of the lineup presence that a team that needs power could use. And I'm going to dare say that if you're the Red Sox, why not take a flyer on Kyle Schwarber? Listen, let's be honest. Chris Bryant to the Red Sox, I don't think it's realistic. I don't think it's going to realistically happen. But what I can tell you is this. Kyle Schwarber would be a perfect addition to the Boston Red Sox, for example, and here's why. There are those out there that'll say, well, where is he going to play? You already have a left fielder and Andrew Benintendi. Right. Here's what you do. You use him as your fourth outfielder. Either that or you move on from Jackie Bradley Jr. And at this point in juncture, he is an upgrade over Jackie Bradley Jr. Although I get that Jackie Bradley Jr. is a spectacular defensive outfielder. No questions asked. But if we're going to be completely honest, Kyle Schwarber is a guy that the Red Sox could absolutely use. Because listen, you look at the Red Sox lineup for 2021. With respect to Xander Bogaerts, with respect to Rafael Devers, with respect to JD Martinez, Kyle Schwarber, if he's right, could put this offense over the top. But the Red Sox, they do have other concerns that are a bit more of a priority. And I get that, 100%. But that's one guy I think that the Red Sox could potentially benefit from having in their lineup. Now, let's look at the other free agents, shall we? Let's start with JT Realmuto. Right now, he is considered to be by far the best all-around catcher in the game right now. The guy can hit for power. The guy can run the bases. The guy could command a pitching staff. And the fact that the Philadelphia Phillies are not going to bring him back is stunning. Bryce Harper on record has gone out and said they need to bring back JT Realmuto. And the fact that he's a free agent right now is the fact that I am shocked by the Philadelphia Phillies that you're going to let a guy who has given you, and I mean he has given you, a good offensive production, great behind-the-plate presence for a team that has underachieved the last couple of seasons. Yes, that team has underachieved, but JT Realmuto has been that guy. And to me, if you are the Philadelphia Phillies or any other team in Major League Baseball, what risk is there in signing in JT Realmuto? None. There is no risk. What exactly is the issue? If you are a team like the Boston Red Sox, if you are a team out there that could really use a catcher, such as the New York Mets, for example, that is a guy that you go after. And I'm going to tell you why. I mentioned about the offense. Let's take a deeper dive into the numbers, shall we? Because listen, I'm a numbers guy. I'm not a sabermetrics guy, but I value numbers. And I value what a man can do defensively as well. And especially when it comes to throwing out base runners. Just last season, this was a guy who hit .266, 11 home runs, and 32 runs batted in. And you look at his career numbers. This is a guy who has consistently been able to hit for power. And I am absolutely amazed that this is a guy that, for whatever reason, especially in the last how many years? In the last 3 years, has become one of the better offensive catchers in the game. No question. This goes back to when he was in Miami. You want to look at 2017, .278, 17 homers, 65 runs batted in. 2018, 21 home runs, 74 runs batted in. Batted .277. 2019, 145 games. He hit 25 home runs, 83 runs batted in. Batted .275. He's proven to you over the last three full seasons that he is one of the best, if not one of the premier offensive catchers and as well as defensive catchers in the major leagues. If you're a team out there this offseason That's a guy that you should have on top of your list. Now, George Springer is another one, for example. And I get the whole, well, he played for the Cheatstros. Like, I get it. But at the end of the day, say what you will about the Astros, about George Springer, but this is one of the preeminent center fielders in the game, if not top three. No question. No question. This guy has shown that he can perform in the regular season. This guy has shown that he can perform in the postseason. He's a big-time player. That is a guy that is absolutely worth taking a look at, and as well as signing to a long-term deal. I get that he's 31 years old, wrong side of 30, but at the same time, the offense, the glove, it's all there. I don't use the term 5-2 player very often, but George Springer is exactly just that, a 5-2 player. See what you will. But another guy who I think is going to be an absolute piece of intrigue, and that is going to be DJ LeMahieu of the New York Yankees. He's a free agent. Now, the reports out of New York over the last several days has been that the Yankees and DJ LeMahieu have been in talks of a contract extension. But there are teams out there that are interested in LeMahieu's bat and glove and versatility in the infield, i.e. the New York Mets, George Springer as well. I mean, the New York Mets and the Toronto Blue Jays are the two most serious teams that are in on George Springer right now. So that remains to be seen. But I do think that the Major Baseball hot stove season, it is just getting started. It is well underway. It's just getting started. And guess what? It's going to be a lot of fun. Coming up next, final thoughts on this Thursday afternoon on the Sugar Red Show at 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. This is Sugar Red, you are listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to mooch off your friends.
You gonna finish that grape?
You mean the one in my mouth?
You don't need to stop buying the necessities.
What you're smelling is a natural musk.
Ew.
You don't need to be a medical test subject.
How do you feel?
Mostly okay. I... Sometimes, though.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
We need a new stuntman. Let's break for lunch.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell your soul to the devil.
$15 is the best I can do.
All right, deal.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
When it comes to saving money, don't act like a baby.
Goo goo gaga.
Be the boss and make a budget.
I'm the boss, baby.
You're the boss of me.
I am the boss of you.
Are not.
M2.
Are not.
M2.
Need a little help?
Aren't you going to do any work?
I'm very busy delegating.
Create a personalized savings plan.
We can share.
You obviously didn't go to business school.
And get other tools and tips at feedthepig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Music is a bridge between the material and the spiritual. My name is Harvey Lauer, and I'm 82. As a blind person, you have to be aware that nobody can tell you what you can or can't do. You really have to try things. My folks got me a little radio in 1940, and that was the best Christmas present I ever got. When I was 11 years old is when I started to play music, play the piano, and then the accordion, and then the cello. My wife, who was also blind, was a good cook. When she died, that's when I started Meals on Wheels. America, let's do lunch.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at americaletsdolunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tuss-Free from radio streaming nationwide on the TuneIn radio app and globally on WMFO.org. It is time for Final Thoughts, which is brought to you by yours truly, Shukri Wright, here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've made it. We've made it to Chapter 12 of 2020. And I say that with both humor and as well as some sort of excitement. Because, listen, we all are saying to ourselves, one way or another, you know what? I'm looking forward to the new year. Normally, in years past, I was one of those saying, you know what? I'm looking forward to the new year and what it has or what it may have in store for me. And that's okay to admit that. But this year, I think really it's even more enhanced, whereas so many people are just, you know, saying, you know what, I'm tired. I'm ready for the new year. I'm ready for a new beginning, for better days to come. You know, and listen, 2020 has been a very tiring year. It's okay to admit that. But in sports, it's the one thing that we've had in which that it has most certainly taught us so much about the importance of perseverance, the importance of working together. And I think that what we're seeing now in sports is the unity across all professional sports and collegiate sports in terms of standing up against racial inequality, speaking out or speaking for in support of Black Lives Matter, and coming together and speaking out against racism and bigotry. And I think that what this year has taught us all is that it's important to have a voice and to speak out against evil, wherever it may be and whomever it may come from. And 2020 has been a year of so many different lessons and challenges that we've all had to go through because of this pandemic. And life as we knew it hasn't been the same. It has impacted every one of us on so many levels, whether we want to admit it or not, and that's okay if you don't want to admit it openly. But I will personally admit that it has helped make me grow as a person, as a radio broadcaster, and as well as discovering who I am, not who others want me to be. And I think that is something that is so important, that is so powerful. As people begin to make New Year's resolutions, and here we are as Christmas rapidly approaching, New Year's just a few more weeks away, that people really begin to take stock and to really prioritize what's truly important in their lives. And I think there's something to be said when it comes to taking self-assessment as to where they are and finding out what exactly do they want for themselves moving forward, and as well as for their future as well. That'll be all for this week's edition of the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. I'll be back with you next week, Thursday, from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright signing off. Thanks for listening to the show today. I had a blast. I hope you had just as much fun listening to the show as I did producing the show. I'll talk to you guys again next week, Thursday. Take care, everybody. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Take care.
Hey, Mom. Why is the sky blue? Why don't animals talk? Why do dogs have wet noses? Why is an 11 pronounced 21?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
Why do I have a belly button?
But you don't have to know every answer.
Why is the ocean salty?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
Why are there 50 states?
There are thousands of children.